The women of all my children will make your day.
Fantastic!
Erica makes your day every day on all my children.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Hi. Mike, will you entertain a question right out of the chute?
Yeah, go ahead.
I really enjoyed that opening video, but was it fun working on the Princess?
Makes one of us.
What? Was it fun when you were working on the Princess Bride and you said they were both poisoned?
That's the ball. You're challenged to come up with bald-headed guys with that classic.
That's it. You thought the wine had the poison in it.
Whoever that great actor is that was in the Princess Bride. Oh my God! Yes. Sir. So the opening.
Now that I look for it, it's so bad. That opening cartoon.
Well, you know. To start with, the problems are, as I like to say, multifold.
You've
got the issue of the sinking to the thing. I love, my favorite part is when I get angry and turn into a monster.
I like that too.
I enjoy an awful lot.
I like when Josh tells us not to get the
pace is not what I wanted. But
when Josh, I like when he says, "Don't get the cables tangled."
Yeah.
And whose voices are they? Are they our voices?
I don't know. Just put it to AI and let AI do their thing.
It's Mike. It's they, I just came up with his name. It's Wallace Shawn. Wallace Shawn is the guy in The Princess Bride, and I think Wallace Shawn does the voices in our 1 minute rollout too.
So, if a knight of the round table,
all right. So there's so much going on. I take my son because he's off this week. I take him fishing yesterday, right after the show taping, and I take him out to. And for Florida and the idea of how many tributaries and streams and creeks
ponds.
And ponds should be, this is a sometimes you realize just how paved over the state is becoming because everything is being encroached upon by roads and apartment buildings. And even the park system down here is, you know, right at backing right up to the public tennis court. And it's just, it all looks like they don't look like ponds as much as they look like drainage ditches. So they're everywhere.
Well, that's what they are.
That's because they are.
I have a question for you other Florida residents, because I'm still sort of getting the feel of Miami down here. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing signs in all the parking lots that says, in case of rain, this parking lot will flood.
Oh, that might be you. That might. I don't see that as much over here.
We don't have that here because that's why we have ponds everywhere.
Okay. Yeah. Because
it's
like
the dry season. You're in the dry. Is it crispy over where you are? Because it's crispy over here. It's very dry over here.
I personally am very dry. Arid.
I know you are. You always have been. I mean, it's just very difficult to find good fishing. But it is my desire to amuse my son because I feel inadequate. Because I think if you go to certain schools, be they public or private schools, and they have something called Ski Week, right away, that should tell you all you need to know about how
Polish
much
people?
They have. No, it's not for Polish people. It shows how much they have and how much I don't. Because
they don't seem to shop on Temu.
They don't really seem to shop on Temu.
They're Chinese skis. Yeah.
Let's just say many of his friends, have a trip or two during the year where they'll come back, usually out west, they'd say, and come back. But I don't, so we're not doing anything as
I used
usual.
To see this in, when I was in Fairfax County growing up, which is sort of a wealthy county. I was an outlier in that county, that every year the seniors, through the government teacher, planned a trip to Moscow.
Yeah.
And they just went to Moscow.
That's cost effective, I bet.
For a week. And this is in 1988. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's the whole, it's just, they travel and it's like, it's not in my hemisphere. I'm sorry.
And I went to a private school. So it was the same thing. It was President's Day weekend. Who's going to Vail or Telluride?
Yeah. That's it. That's the way they roll. So I have found, through my Irish guilt, I have found it necessary to amuse my son and as much time as I can give him, I give him. And he's a delight to be around. I love him.
He's fun. He is fun.
So, but it's been baseball heavy. Yesterday, I took him to his baseball lesson, which I misscheduled on the online app. You know, there's only one I use that is worth P, and that is, that's my barber. Otherwise, every online, it's like, and there's nothing worse than walking into where they have the batting cages and the instructors and seeing the guy go click, 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 and then you see.
Oh, no.
And then the thing.
I said, something's amiss.
And yeah. I think my demeanor was, it's not in there. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't in there, but we rescheduled till today, so we're there now. Throughout this, we had the good news was I have the little card that allows him to get a bunch of reps in the batting cages with the batting machines, with the pitching machines, and you will remember, I believe I discussed that at Christmas time, his big gift was I think I wrote the price down. Yeah, let me see. A $10 million bat.
I remember this bat. A baseball bat, yeah.
For $10 million.
Solid titanium, wasn't it?
I think it's made out of space-age polymers, Rob, that do very, very well. Yes.
But let's be real. It's really the nice paint job.
Oh, that's very pretty. It looks like Yellow Submarine.
Yeah, how's it going breaking that thing in?
It's interesting you say breaking it in. This was purchased at Christmas time. I think the 15th, 10 days before Christmas, sent up to Maine. And people say, yeah, what about Maine, Mike? What about Maine?
Yeah, that's exactly 2 months ago. Because today is just about 2 months ago.
And let me see if I can get it close to the camera here.
Uh-huh. Oh, it's pretty. Gorgeous.
Yeah, give you a little bigger shot. All right, is that a crack, a dent? What are we looking at?
Yeah. Stop moving, camera. God damn it, how do I turn it off on this piece of shit?
Camera doesn't like the bat.
On.
Yeah. What? What is the deal? What is the deal with this thing? I don't want it to move. I want it to stay in one spot. I am going to, I swear to God.
Oh, look, there's some hair there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's proof that the video is wrong. Inconceivable. I do like your dramatic entrance back into frame, though. Like,
yes,
I really do. I really. All right. How do I get it to stop?
You go into that software and you uncheck all of the automatic AI stuff.
Yeah,
all the automatic stuff.
It says normal tracking. I don't want normal tracking.
No, you want that.
Well, why
unchecked.
Can't I? It's off now. Yeah, I figured it out, Josh. I figured it out. What it is, Josh?
What?
It's only when we start taping. It doesn't allow me to do that until we start taping. That's the truth. That's it.
And then it turns itself on when
that's
you reset?
It. I don't know why, but that's it. I've figured it out. I have now figured it out. So now I can show you this without the camera moving. And let me see if I get to the spot. There it is.
That's a tasty crack right there.
See it?
Yeah.
Is that this is a stupid question, but I don't know the ball game.
That'll be covered under warranty.
Okay, I sent the pictures in, and I sent the receipt from I don't like to give people that don't need my help any help, but it might be because it's Amazon that the receipt readily available and pretty easy to log everything and get it. God, what a great bat, though. Great bat.
Is it wood? Because the crack looks like it's wood. I don't know if it's metal or wood, Mike. I don't play baseball. That sounds metal?
You're funny, though.
Yes, it would be a metal bat.
Okay. That surprises me that metal would crack like that. That seems like something you'd worry
about.
They
do. They do. They are, they're hitting a hard baseball, so I guess that's what does it. But
those bats have a 12-month warranty.
And so that should be no fuss, no muss, I would think.
As long as it's not like evidence it was being used improperly.
Yeah, like against your wife.
Right. Or a concrete wall.
Rob. I know that you can't make jokes about
that's improper,
Mike.
I'm saying it's improper.
I know you're going through a difficult time, but please, for the love of God.
Did you buy the extended warranty on the bat?
No, I did not. But I'm really hoping that, look,
they should honor that. Yeah.
To the company. I will be back with either a yay or a nay about whether anybody should purchase one of the. This is the, as Josh probably recognizes, the flavor of the month. Bat, and although Owen is not playing as much as before, right?
No, Owen's not playing.
All right. So. So
what is the brand of bat?
I'm not going to give them a plug, Rob, until I find out whether I get.
All right.
If they give me the warranty, which I deserve richly based
yes,
on
you do,
but- the near $500 outlay for a yeah. bat, if they give me the warranty, then I will be very, very happy. So
Rob would like we'll see what the don't know the brand, but you would like the model name of the bat.
What the is model it? Name?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's the Nova. It's the Northern Virginia.
Oh, that's great. That's really good. It's because they invented it at the community college, didn't they?
Yeah, Nova's fun. You can say there are a lot of different bats that are Novas.
Yeah.
That's the way that goes. So
I assumed it would be a Louisville Slugger.
Just making sure my camera's not.
I think they only make wood bats.
Yeah, they do. And I don't.
And you generally don't give kids wooden bats.
Why is that?
Too much breakage.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Right. So we'll see what happens with that, but
you'll be fine.
How did Michael react when the crack happened?
He was almost in tears.
Yeah,
he was almost in tears. This was his big Christmas present, and he's such a great kid. He's just so into it, and it's just it's hard to describe. There are things that I love that he does, and there are things I don't. The e-bike experience with another great kid in the neighborhood. This kid Gio, who is really a smiley, happy, you know, hey, Mike, or he does say, hey, Mike. He says, hey, Mr. O'Mara, when he comes in. You know, I love kids that greet. By the way, if you raise your kids to greet adults, it's a big little, you know, it's not a lot. But if you do that, it's a nice thing. And he's good. But the e-bike, the whole vibe on e-bike, it's just that skateboardy kind of, you know.
There was another death in my county this weekend on an e-bike.
Usually taking them out on the streets and getting hit by a car or something like that. It's
not paying attention when they're crossing the street.
Mm-hmm. We'll have more on that on Josh's good news segment coming up.
and this is the Uplifting Podcast with Josh Soroka. Another kid killed in my neighborhood. He was distracted by the people that put up the Muppets in the yard or something like that.
Remember, I am all for let's ban these e-bikes.
That's right.
Yeah, I know. And you know that I'm look, Josh, it happens to be my most hypocritical thing that I've done since I've worked with you. And I own that, and I completely own that. And it's just the only justification or excuse, if I'm going to offer one, will be Josh fueled by alcohol. And I don't drink like I used to, but that was that was a particularly festive day that was post golf. Followed by Buffalo Chips, followed by the British Open Pub. And that one extra Boddington's.
Yeah.
And then I think we should be. And Mrs. O'Mara was feeling rather festive as well. You know?
Yeah. I used have
Michael's
to make,
a smart kid.
When I was a drinker, Mike, keep me away from Amazon. Because 2 days after the bender, things would start showing up. And you know what? Thank God Temu came after I got sober.
Would you, in many cases, if they didn't send you an email reminder, would you not remember what you had ordered?
I think the most surprising thing was the box of three imported whistles from the Acme Whistle Company in England.
That's what makes you fun, though. That's what makes you you.
Yeah. I mean, guess. Really,
that's what makes you Mr. Joy. That's that you bought. Were they the slide whistles?
There was a slide whistle, a siren whistle, and of course, Mike, the traditional Acme Thunderer worn by coaches far and near.
And if anybody listening to this ever doubts for a minute that Rob Spiewak does not love his job, that all three of those, the best place he could use them would be this very show.
Exactly. And so, I do use it. You always hate the slide whistle, but I
do.
Always use it.
I do. Because you liked it the best and you overused it, which I completely understand as well. Yes, similar in that way where you've got a new toy and you want to use it.
Yeah.
That's the way. That's the way.
But don't you want to know what sent you down that path?
No.
Like how that even went that you ordered whistles?
I could go probably back then. This is some years ago, but I could probably go into the history of my Google and see it probably started somewhere with my family because my father had his father's whistle and it was an Acme Thunderer. And I probably started on, you can go to YouTube and listen to whistles.
I did not know that.
You can. Acme has their own page. And Acme. Then you can.
I think Roadrunner.
The other one I didn't get is, and someday, and you know, my birthday's not that far away, folks, would be the train whistle with three different tones on it. So it sounds like a train whistle. That's a good one too. Yes, very exciting. Exactly. Yeah.
That's wonderful, Bruce. Anyway.
None of the whistles have cracked.
This is something that I have become aware of recently that is different than years past. One of the things, the reason I was bringing up the fishing is we're going over to the old fishing hole and a guy is jogging and he's big and he's really working hard. And I admire people that are of larger carriage and they get out there and they're exercising. I know how hard it is to do, and I admire it when people are doing it. And this guy is driving by, jogging by, and he's sweating profusely. And then on his forehead, because it was Ash Wednesday yesterday, I see the cross in the ashes. And I thought about the fact that doing what I do now and consuming media the way I consume media now, and like so many of us, that things that used to be collective experiences or collective knowledge are starting to pass me by, where I am so niche oriented, as people are with the way they get their television, the way they get their podcasts, the way they get whatever they do, their deep dives into YouTube when they want to watch stuff, that we are now becoming, I'm cruising along and I'm absolutely clueless as to the Ash Wednesday, where it seemed like for years on the old show, certainly the radio show, we'd have a discussion about Ash Wednesday.
And also Mardi Gras, Fat Tuesday.
And Mardi Gras, and I wrote it down. I said, Fat Tuesday, Ash Wednesday, Mardi Gras, the Winter Olympics. Are we not paying attention? The only thing I've been aware of in the last 24 hours is the curling bullshit. That's it. That's the only thing I've been aware of is the curling scandal from the obviously cheating Canadian team.
Boo.
That, you know, putting their nose on it, putting their finger on it, going across the line. And what we care about, right?
Well, that is what we're told to care about because it's something.
Some good highlights.
But we don't share any community experiences house to house. Like, there'll never be a huge situation comedy again that we all watch at the same time and then talk about it at work the next day.
Right.
It doesn't exist because everyone says, I'll catch it when I stream it, or I'll catch it when it comes out. I guess the last thing we have, and it's sort of isolated, is some sports. Now,
you have is sports now.
The Olympics don't count because they're all bottled up and repackaged for you, but like a football game, that's the last thing we sort of share as an audience. And that's sad.
It is sad. I think we were, you know, when you talk about being divided, I think we're now in our likes and dislikes. And by the way, as much as I speak about my proclivities for politics, I am, and I'm sure people on the right and the left go through this, I am textbook for the inundation of one way of thinking that just hits and hits and hits. And it makes sense. Something pops up on my feed where a stand-up comedian is doing shtick about the People's Republic of New York City, and I immediately turn it off. I'm like, I don't need that crap. I don't.
Right.
And that's how it works. And so the algorithms go.
But there are people that will turn that up. I'd credit that.
100%. Yeah.
I
turn up the Moskowitz, Congressman Moskowitz, you know, giving Pam Bondi a hard time. And love every minute of it, and rightly so in my own mind.
That's why they feed you what you like.
Everybody gets fed what they like in their
bubble.
Yes. I think 5 years ago this week is when we lost Rush Limbaugh.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday, I believe.
Yeah, and he created the fact that he could do ostensibly a news-based talk show, but only tell you what you already believe.
Yes.
Only tell you what you like.
If you want to go back to the origins, that's what started it. I mean, it really did. I mean, there's nobody that was bigger in his prime.
Hey, now.
But somebody pointed this out, that because of the nature of what he did, you don't hear about him. You don't.
You don't
hear about what he did, because what he did was get on a show and bitch about what he hated.
Yep.
And that was it. And so I think we've proven that that's not lasting.
Right.
You know, what's lasting is when you do something that really changes society for the better. I believe that with all of my heart. But getting back to the whole idea of the niche, I feel now more than ever in my life that I am less in tune with the world around me. Does that make sense when you talk
Absolutely.
About? Yeah, because Mardi Gras, I say, oh, it must be Mardi Gras. Or I see the ashes, oh, it must have been Ash Wednesday. Well, I'm a fallen Catholic. I should know when it's Ash Wednesday.
Yeah, and you've come from a school of disc jockery that lived on pop culture.
Yeah.
I mean, that was that determined the show every day, whether you liked it or not. You had to, in the day, talk about American Idol. You had to talk about NYPD Blue because it was on people's minds. And there's not any sort of no one looks at USA Today anymore to find out what we're collectively into, right?
And what's even, worse, go ahead, Josh, I'm sorry.
Well, we don't go to an office, but even if you go to an office, everyone's wearing AirPods. So you don't have the water cooler talk because everyone's still in their bubble.
Right.
And in the evening, I cannot tell you how many times my preference will be to put on my AirPods.
Yeah.
And dive into my computer and for hours scroll through crap.
Yeah, miles. Yeah. Literally
nothing,
miles
nothing.
Of screen.
I am not even, I don't even have the desire, because they are now controlling me, I don't have the desire to even sit and watch films or television programs like I used to. I am drifting away from that, where the preference now is to sit there. I mean, and I would be desperately embarrassed to share what I watch, where it's slot machines and it's Karens and it's police chases and it's all this like temporary feed the titillation and go. And it's not healthy. I know it's not.
Are you aware? I mean, you see the stuff we always see on our feeds, the stuff that caters to us. Are you aware when they like start, hey, he might like this? And you see like five videos in a row.
Well, I think
not in your interest.
I dabble in a lot of political content that they will periodically show me something from the other team to see. And I think that has something to do with my
Joe
Rogan, Theo Von podcasters that I pay attention to, the Kill Tony stuff. That first of all, you know, the marketing departments for them. Would that we would have a tenth of it. It would be special to be able to get that kind of exposure. But I think that's it, because those testosterone-laden podcasts that exist, even though, you know, I'll give Tony Hinchcliffe a little tip of the cap that, you know, more so now than before, although, you know, I don't think it was a stretch, he's very open about his sexuality. And I think that in some small way gives me hope that, you know, that he can actually, you know, be inclusive in that situation. But getting back to it, I feel as though, and I've got to do something about it, that I am wasting time. I am wasting what little time I have left on this earth to just dive into this garbage. Even if it's watching a show like The Pit to me. You know what The Pit does for me? The Pit gets me into a drama, a well-written drama that demonstrates the heroes and the heroics that go on in an inner city emergency room. And I think that's positive.
But
I don't do that.
You scrolling all night doesn't bother me. What concerns me is that that's how the kids are now. That kids have no interest in anything but
in
their
phone.
In
anything. Yeah. I'm driving and having a conversation. If my kid has his phone, by the way, which during the school year, he doesn't get it until Sunday. He has to give it back Sunday night, doesn't get it for the whole week, and we give it back to him on Friday.
So he has it at Mass?
Best thing I've ever done. What's that?
He has it at Mass?
When we go to our Mass.
Yeah, when you go to Mass services.
We let him have it on his vacation, you know, because we're not going anywhere or doing anything. But at the same time, it's just, how many of us do this where we have our phone and we go, hey, look at this.
Yep.
Look at something that stimulates me that I want to stimulate. That's it. It's bad. It's gotten so bad. I worry about it. I think about it.
The
I don't know what the solution is typically. But
the worrisome thing for me is, since we all grew up before of this, the phone revolution really, is we have a basis of doing real things in our life. You know, we did real things as we grew up, when we were kids and when we were teens and when we were young adults. And they're avoiding it. They don't get that now.
They don't get that. And it's why I am so happy that I have him involved in the sports that he's involved in. And I see an interest that is maintained in that. And I think whether it's anything you have, anything that a kid can do that is a diversion and something real, something tangible, something you can actually go to and study, whether it's a, you know, painting, art, music, anything like that. You got to get them involved because we're turning to mush. Very easy manipulatable, I think.
A little burst of joy is Julia is coming down to visit the family here in Miami next week for a couple days. And she got a really good flight, cheap. And so I'm really dying to see her. And let me change the phrasing of that. I'm very excited to see her. And one of the things she said is, I've never been to Miami before. I said, well, we can go look at the ocean. We can go to Little Havana. She said, are there any yarn stores in Miami? And I said,
but that's a hobby of hers, right?
And she sits down and crochets or knits.
That's something that's
tangible. The way you and I would scroll a phone, and it brings me great joy. I love the fact that she's into that. And she's found one of her 50 jobs is working in a yarn store. And I love that. I mean, that is really, that could have been 50 years ago. That is tangible. That's arts and crafts.
No, I'm so glad she's coming down to visit you.
AI can't take that over.
You're right. You're right.
No.
They don't know what yarn is.
They can take music over. They can take intros to shows over. Mm-hmm. I dove in. They got me. They always got me. Upgrade to the pro package. You know what I did? I was
they
so stupid.
Saw you
oh, they on the greatest room. I'm dealing with PayPal right now to get a refund on my find the right haircut for me.
That's a paid app?
That's a paid app.
Oh, no. Right.
I'm a moron. I know I'm a moron. Mike, it was a one shot, and then it gets me into a deep app that I don't want to have anything to do with, and it discards all my pictures the pictures I was supposed to see this week.
Mike, download ChatGPT,
yeah,
and you can do things like that for free.
Okay, all right, I'll learn. I'll
take a picture.
But the problem is if he gets a haircut through ChatGPT, they're going to cut off all the hair on the top of his head.
Well, what if they say he'd look best bald?
Yeah. That's true.
By the way,
music, I can live with 2 months of the music that I didn't like. I'm not going to live with the bald picture for 2 months. I cannot do that.
No, I'll fix it as soon as you send me a new song.
I can't do it. I did last night get something. I put in Celtic.
Oh, no.
Up to... What?
I don't like that style of music.
Come on now.
Would it kill you to do a polka?
See, there
it
is.
If you go to the music of your people, I go to the music of my people.
Why I won't involve myself in it. There it is.
No, no. I love the notion of the current one, the pounding swing. It makes me smile.
Well, there are multiple pounding swings.
Yeah. It just needs to be settled down a little bit.
I'll do it. It's one of the jobs that I will do over the next few days.
Now that you've upgraded, have you played with the lyrics?
I don't have any desire for lyrics.
Because you can take one of your poems and drop it in there and say, make a song for Carla.
It's easy to grin when your ship has come in and you've got the stock market beat. But the man who's worthwhile is the man who can smile when his pants are too tight in the seat.
Pookie.
Pookie. The flying wasp.
We had a client not that long ago that you would send them a poem and they would turn it into a song. No wonder they went away. Because now all you have to do is hit six and it makes a song for you.
I don't know whether it's great. I love the fact that we are able to get that. Do you know? Look, I know it's AI. If I can just sound like an idiot right now, and that up-tempo music with the thousands of horns and the great bass riff. I have a question about that. My question is this. How do they do it? I mean, I'm Charlie Brown. I'm Herb Harrigan.
That was also a little Larry King like, Mike. You got the horns and everything. How?
Is it so sophisticated that they have every note and every arrangement?
They have signed a lot of deals with music producers.
Okay.
Probably more record labels and studios that own the actual recordings. So that they can get a slight like Frank Sinatra sound.
Okay.
And then those people make pennies off each one. If it's like, it's all micro fractions because it's like, okay, well, 10% of this song is inspired by this other song or those drums are from this song.
But when they
and then
do something,
make some pennies off that.
When they do something original, is there like at the AI headquarters where they're building the supercomputer? Do they have like a trumpet play every note a trumpet plays singularly and then marries it together?
I don't think so.
I think there are orchestrations. I think it's like they sign up production music companies to lay down a bunch of different generic tracks, and then they mix these tracks.
And you know, you're right, because I remember back
no,
when producing
they
commercials.
They don't mix the tracks. They edit the track down where it's if I took this podcast and took every word you said, and then I had a database of every word you said, and I can make you say whatever I want. And it might sound choppy, but they take that where they take every note the instruments have played. They don't need them play them individually. They pull them from recordings already.
Unreal.
And then the computers can blend them and make them sound.
And also, I'm sure they can, because this is not new technology, bend the notes to complement each other. Turn a C into an E or whatever by slowing or speeding.
Synthesizer. That's been around for, you know.
They say it's deep learning neural networks that are trained on vast data sets of existing music to identify patterns, melody, harmony, rhythms, and timbre.
Incredible.
Timbre. Are you familiar at all with the Mellotron, the instrument, the Mellotron? The Mellotron was big in the 60s for touring bands that wanted to sound big. And what it was, think of a cart machine like we used to have in radio.
Tape
right?
cartridges, for you older folks, the kids won't know this, were like 8-tracks. And you would put them in a machine and they would have a button that would play one 60-second commercial. And you'd press the button and that's how you did
it. And
then when they got
looped.
Sophisticated, I was there for the whole run. When they got sophisticated, they would trigger each other and there'd be a stack of them. So you'd get a 7-minute commercial break and each one would trip in. There was a big stack of machines before the digital age.
But these are tape loops. And what would happen is when a cart finished playing, it was back at the beginning. Well, the Mellotron had like a keyboard, like a piano, but every key on the keyboard was hooked to a different tape loop of that note.
Right.
And so there we could, they could say, let's load it with flutes. Let's load it with the orchestra. Mm-hmm. And it's similar to that, but just so much faster and so instantaneous. It's crazy.
Yeah. And so, you know, there's the technology that's lapping us intellectually as we, I mean, I think you don't have to be a sci-fi writer to really comprehend the end game of this, if you really think about it.
Yeah,
think about what's happening.
I don't think so.
We are, well, I know you don't. I know because, look, your mind has a big, thick door on it. And in many areas, that door is impenetrable.
Well, no, I just think the people that say AI is going to kill us and it's all going to take over are the same people that said Photoshop was going to destroy artists, and instead it improved.
I don't remember anyone saying that Photoshop was going to destroy anything.
Let me just offer this, if I may. All right, I believe that. Would you not agree that as the progression of artificial intelligence steamrolls ahead at light speed, that did something just happen?
You zoomed out.
It was very intense, like right when you were making your point.
It was actually quite effective.
It worked out well.
Not what you were looking for. You know what the problem is? You might have a camera that's haunted.
I don't really know. I have to.
Is that an AI camera with an AI person inside it?
I don't know.
You were talking bad about the AI.
Yeah, you didn't care for it.
And that's why I did that, because it's take advantage of me. As the AI, artificial intelligence, just continues to explode in speed and get faster and more things every single day, the intellectual capacity of human beings with all of this stimulus and all this mindlessness is diminishing on a daily basis as well.
100%.
Well, we already saw it where we don't memorize as much stuff because this is now our brain.
Yeah.
So when this then has everything...
Right.
Yeah, there's even less to know.
Now, will it result in idiocracy? I think it already has.
It's simplified us, certainly.
I mean,
because if we're not challenging our brain.
We're not challenging, but we're also not questioning our belief systems at all.
Right.
There is none. People believe what they believe, and the hardest thing in the world you can do is to get them to change their belief system. And, what you don't get is reading a lengthy history of a world leader or an American leader. It's that,
with
you
varied
know, I mean,
viewpoints and real
we don't
history.
Have the we don't have the attention span to watch a sitcom anymore.
You're right. We watch clips from the sitcom.
It's pretty. I consume my sports now on television much more than ever before in a highlight fashion. I don't watch the entire thing. I don't have time for it. It's a weird combination. And go ahead, Josh.
Well, the Olympics, they end this weekend. So it's a little late. But I just discovered yesterday how to watch the Olympics.
I'm all ears. Yeah, I cannot wait to hear about this.
There is on Peacock a section called Gold Zone. And it's just like Red Zone. And it's the guy from Red Zone. But he's jumping between Olympic finishes. So you don't have to watch the whole setup. The race.
You just see the finishes.
You just see the, or you all see right. the race.
And be
for
careful,
the short
Mike,
race,
because
you don't see the countdown.
There is another website called Golden Zone, and don't go to that.
I will tell you this, that I know already as I'm listening to Josh, that I'd like to see finishes of different events, and I will probably go to YouTube and say all Olympic highlights from the entire competition, all the great moments, and there's so many of them. But
how many
again,
have you watched in the past week and a half?
Boy, oh boy.
I saw multiple curling. And I saw the
By the way,
steer.
That's something you can multiple curlin is the new novel from the Soroka Publishing House.
And you can buy it if you go to Josh's Good News Network.
Yeah.
Multiple curlin. You watch the curling because of the controversy, right?
Well, and because I like curlin. I think it's fun.
You like curling? Oh, I bet you could find a Jacksonville, Florida area. You could probably find a curling.
I don't know.
Eight,
I've done it
eight
in,
years ago, my father bought a curling stone because he was watching it on the Olympics, and he went online and bought
have
a
you
curling
done it,
stone.
Josh?
Yeah, I've done it. They have
oh,
a
my
Chesapeake,
God, you have participated in curling.
Yeah, there is a Chesapeake Curling Club over in, like, Easton, Maryland.
There it is.
And we've gone out there many years ago for the Olympics promotion and did it out there.
Like, quick sidelight, did you get the clip from The Price is Right I sent you yesterday?
No, I didn't.
It was the big prize. They said, you've won a vacation to the Chesapeake Bay. And then they did the description and what it is, 5 days at a bed and breakfast in Easton, Maryland.
Yeah.
It wasn't even that fancy resort out there.
I told Kathy, because we had it on in the background, I said, if I won that, I would leave the stage. I would just walk away. It's horrible.
That's right. It's Rod Roddy. You'll have breakfast in bed served by radio personality Big Don O'Brien. He'll be coming to your home and doing that right now. Well, if you're just tuning in, we figured it out. The world's going to end. Yes.
The other highlight that I saw watched a bunch was the skier that finished backwards.
I saw
that's
that.
That's a fun Olympic highlight as well.
Mm-hmm. Is that the is that real skiing or is it that fake pothead skiing that they have?
No, it was it moguls? It was something like moguls or something.
Is that where they go down and they go?
Yeah.
Like the very I like.
They got mixed up and almost fell over and ended up backwards and won the race backwards.
I would like to show you one quick Olympic clip, the highlight that I was going to do in beautiful video today, but it fits so nicely right here. Mike, I'm not a big Olympic guy, but I sure do love dogs. So let's take a look at this.
Oh, good for you, Rob.
This is very fun.
To enjoy the finish as well. Patic of Croatia across
there
the line.
Dog crossed the finish line.
Patic.
Racing
Josh,
to the
what
line
time did
there.
I send you that video?
The crowd clearly enjoying this.
This video?
Yeah.
The biggest cheer of the day.
Did
it's
I send
not
you the dog
the
video?
No, you didn't send me the
oh,
dog
good.
Video.
I didn't send you that one. I don't even remember what I sent you. My brain is squash right now, but I
that
watched
was
that already.
A
that
Czechoslovakian wolf
right?
dog. It was a Czechoslovakian wolf dog. That's how they described it. Yikes.
And it looked more wolf than dog when you saw that thing cry. And it's supposed to be, lives in the neighborhood, wanted to go somewhere. The people were traveling, got out of the house, likes people. That's what dogs do.
Totally bit Lindsay Vaughn's knee. It was horrible. Shook it in a hog grenade.
That's what she tripped over.
Don't make fun of the injured, everybody. We got news coming up, but first
for
I want to tell you about a fine sponsor of the Mike O'Mara Show, HelloFresh. Nothing hits like home cooking, and HelloFresh makes it easy to do with recipes that feel good and taste delicious night after night. Now, as you know, I'm something of a kitchen whiz. Yes. That begins with cheese. But there's not always time to go full gourmet. That's why I love HelloFresh. It lets you bring everyone together with meals that are simple and rewarding on a busy weeknight. You can choose from more than 100 recipes every week, including cuisines from around the world. Now, with even bigger proportions. Hold on. Jesus Christ. Including cuisines from around the world.
Yes.
Now, with even bigger, see that, get to now, eliminate the now. Okay. With even bigger portions to satisfy everyone, you can choose from more than 35 high-protein recipes each week, including new Mediterranean and GLP-1 friendly options. There's now, there it is again, three times the seafood for no upcharge.
And
you can impress guests or treat yourself with new grass-fed steak ribeyes. Because when dinner tastes this good, nothing hits like home cooking. Use HelloFresh and the whole family loves it. You should do it too. Go to HelloFresh.com/TMOS 10FM. That's what it is. TMOS 10FM. Why is it that? Well, because you get 10 free meals and a zwilling night. All right, I have been doing commercials on this podcast for quite some time.
Yeah, 15 years.
This, I've never described anything as truly challenging. This is as unrewarding as it has ever been. What's that?
Next week's commercial will be better.
I'm very excited.
Yes.
Listen, the whole family loves HelloFresh. Get your 10 free meals plus a free Zwilling knife, a $144.99 value on your third box offer. Mm-hmm. Valid while supplies last. Free meals applied as discount on first box. New subscribers only. Varies by plan. My sincere apologies for every inch of that commercial.
Doesn't diminish how great the client is, Mike. It's a delicious, delicious, and the knife is insane.
As Melania would say, be better.
Be better.
That's what we should do. Hey, everybody, for better or worse, Americans don't agree on much. We've been discussing that all morning, it seems. But the fact is, that might be getting controversial because it now involves something that, if you were talking about an iconic candy, Rob Spiewak, that everybody can agree on, even the boss, which one would you pick?
Maple fudge.
No, Rob, it's Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Oh, they're the best.
But you got the allergy issues.
That's true. My son never has had the pleasure. And I feel so bad.
I don't really buy half the peanut allergies. I don't think they're real.
Brad Reese, tell that, Rob, if you've ever been around somebody that's had that issue, you would feel differently.
My friend, our friends at
Helping Haitian Angels, their son is now a grown man. I think he might even be married. I was a witness to that, and you'll never say that again. You know, don't let the world end at your door, Rob Spiewak. There's a big world out there, and there are people that have peanut butter allergies and peanut allergies that result in anaphylactic shock, and it ain't pretty to watch. It really isn't.
I withdraw the remark.
Brad Reese, the grandson of Reese's inventor H.B. Reese, wrote a LinkedIn post a few days ago accusing the company of changing his family's classic formula and not for the better.
Oh, no, Brad Reese.
He said the Hershey Company is replacing milk chocolate with, this is nasty sounding, isn't it? Compound coatings.
Oh.
And replacing peanut butter with peanut butter style creams across multiple Reese's products. And he's worried that the Reese's legacy is at risk. Now, whenever I have a story like this, I always like to make our audience aware of corporate speak.
Yeah.
When the more corporate speak and ambiguity you get in corporate speak, the more you should be wary. Mm-hmm. The Hershey Company responded saying this, it's Reese's cups are still peanut butter and chocolate at the core.
Oh, they're lying.
That's like the Yoo-hoo chocolate drink.
Yeah, exactly.
The quote is, they're made the same way they always have been, starting with roasting fresh peanuts to make our unique one-of-a-kind peanut butter that is then combined with milk chocolate. I don't like the way that's written.
I don't
don't like that's crafted. Is it not?
No. Yeah. Very precise.
And I'm pretty sure there's more there's more ingredients on the packaging than peanuts.
Yeah, peanuts and chocolate. Yeah. Yeah.
They didn't elaborate about the past and current ingredients, but said that recipe adjustments have been made over time to accommodate new shapes, sizes, and innovations. Boo. So if Brad's right, there's some gray area there. I'm with Brad. Yeah. I'm with that guy 100%. I don't think they taste the same as they used to.
You might be right. The ratio
I really don't
different.
Think so. I really think there might. I think there's room for that, and never trust big candy.
No,
Rob
no,
knows
don't.
That. Absolutely.
That's absolutely true. It's, the original Reese's Cup, when it was introduced, had cocaine in it.
There are the better peanut butter cup right now is the one made by Mr. Beast.
Oh,
it's
Mr.
very
Beast,
good.
I don't know what he did and how he did it, but his chocolate is really solid. Have you had a Mr. Beast bar up?
I'd rather slit a wrist than eat anything that Mr. Beast put his
next
name on.
Next week on the show,
regular
milk chocolate bar, taste testing. They're easy to find.
Oh, but grab a peanut butter also. Grab a peanut butter cup.
A peanut butter cup and a regular chocolate bar.
They are
something to look forward to on Monday. Can we all do that?
Out right now.
I think it'll be fun.
Eat those, do we get to smile like Mr. Beast?
Mr. Beast.
I hate
it's
him.
Called a feastable.
Many people know they spend more than they realize on streaming subscriptions, Amazon food delivery, in-app purchases, salad ingredients, whatever, name it. It's there. According to a new report, the average American driver underestimates the annual cost of vehicle ownership by about $4,500 a year.
Wow.
For starters, according to Kelley Blue Book, the average price of a new car hit a record $50,080. The average price.
Josh, did your wife Kelly tell you about that before she put it in her Blue Book?
No.
Thank you. Okay, no.
Very good. That's just the beginning. That went well. Drivers were asked how much they spend having a car every year outside of loan and lease payments, and the average response was $2,738. But the actual yearly total is $7,303. Younger drivers pay even more, around $10,000 a year just to have
per
that car.
Per car. That's insane.
Insurance are the biggest costs, $1,956 and $1,730 respectively. Other major annual expenses include maintenance, service, and repairs, tires. God.
Well, what about registration? That's the one that drives me crazy, that I got to pay the government every year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How about cooling systems?
I know
batteries
this.
That die on the on the road.
If you want to keep your insurance low, here's a trick. Don't turn your car over.
Yeah, don't roll it like Rob did.
No, because then they get real particular about that.
Also, city areas, you got tolls, parking, car washes, plus tickets and citations. It's expensive. And we all want to have our cars.
Yeah.
We just got a date for when our new car arrives.
Oh, really? Is this
electric
car?
Next Friday. Yes.
Are you
next
how
Friday
excited
we get our electric car?
How excited are you for that?
Oh, I can't wait.
I mean, that's going to be cool. That's good. Look, anything new and innovative. Look at Rob. Rob's just like, meh.
When they deliver it, do you have to sign for it, or how does that work? Is it brought by the UPS?
No, we still have to go to the dealership.
Know this. Elon comes to the house.
Good, and doesn't leave until someone else buys a car.
And he always complains.
This is
not a productive use of my time.
Do you have the curling on Peacock, please?
That was my Elon impression. Cross-country skiing isn't the most exciting Olympic sport. We had it before because one of them yesterday got chased by a dog. That's what I... Yeah. Oh, we already had
if only you could have saved the video 10 minutes later.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, folks.
It's called the blocking of the coke. That's what it is. But let's move on. Even a stopover in jail won't halt Shia LaBeouf's reign of terror. Did you get the Shia? Did you get the Shia reaction with the news story where Shia's showing his papers that when he got released from jail? Do you have that one? Do they teach
you
that?
No, I don't have that.
That's the one I would have liked to see.
Did you
send
this
to me? On Tuesday, just hours after his arrest, he was seen dancing on Bourbon Street with his jail release papers in his mouth. It's a news story clip they had. So they have the anchor person, which to me, I'm not using that if I see that. But it's him kind of doing a dance, and he still looks wasted out of his mind.
Well, sure.
He tweeted also yesterday morning, "Free me." Seems like he's not taking this really seriously. And he's also very obviously alone, not seeming to have people with him, and that's a problem for any human being. Yesterday was a little more low-key for Shia. He went for a run. Then he had dinner alone. That's the alone part I was talking about. In between, he hit up two churches, presumably to get ashes for Ash Wednesday, but both were closed. Shia has been partying in New Orleans since last week, despite several attempts at sobriety over the years. He was arrested early Tuesday after drunkenly starting fights. One new twist on the attack, one of the men involved claims it was a hate crime because Shia was hurling homophobic slurs.
Terrific for Shia.
Now, look, I don't...
I thought just because they hated Shia.
I don't begrudge somebody for saying don't say that, but is it me or if the guy that's alleging the hate crime was not gay, do you understand what I'm saying, right? If he's out there saying don't be a don't be right. And it's not. Am I being dated and out of it by saying that?
Bit.
Or
yeah,
but I'm with you.
But yeah, I mean, if it's not somebody, if it's not directed those words at somebody because the person is of that proclivity
in hate,
then it's a guy that's just trying to make the situation as bad
still
as possible.
It's still a problem.
It's
and
a problem.
I didn't know that
it is. I'm
Shia
not trying
LaBeouf.
To justify. No, I'm an idiot. I'll shut up. All right.
I don't know that Shia LaBeouf turned into D-Day from Animal House because that's what he looks now.
Look, it's not fun. It's not fun at all. But I have to tell you this, that he is somebody that, like all the great ones, some of them have handlers, some of them don't have handlers. If he's out there behaving like that, and there's nobody that loves the guy and nobody that's a friend or a lover or a family member, it's not going to end well for the kid.
I still call him a kid.
I'm sorry.
Has he done anything notable showbiz-wise in 5 years?
Yeah. Yeah, he's been in a couple of movies.
Okay, because I'm just wondering if he blew through all his money, can't afford to keep
it. Who knows? It's sad. It sucks.
It is.
It's just a drag. He's got issues. Everybody knows that. A Taiwanese woman was recently sentenced to 3 months in jail for using a megaphone to hurl insults at neighbors late at night.
What kind of insults?
And they definitely wanted to be heard.
Notice I'm making a pointed effort not to use any ethnicity in this impression at all.
Exactly. Yeah.
A Taiwanese court of law recently ruled against a woman, her surname Chen, who reportedly installed sound amplifying equipment on the balcony of her home in Kaohsiung, Kaohsiung. Kaohsiung.
Yes, I've been there.
And used it to insult her neighbors.
Karen. Karen.
I love this idea.
At
I think it'd be
odd
so
hours
fun.
Of the night, she did it in May of 2023. Chen began using the megaphone to insult several neighbors with whom she had disputes, but the sound coming from her balcony was so loud that it affected the peace of several other households in her neighborhood. She always broadcasts at maximum volume, with each session lasting a few dozen minutes.
Wow. I know that all three of us on this show love microphones because it's how we make our living, but
yeah,
that would be cool to have a PA for your entire neighborhood.
Oh, wouldn't you love that?
I would love that.
That would be your. That's heaven for you when you.
That would be heaven. I could bring out my slide whistle.
I'm kind of surprised you don't have one of those for your car yet, so you can just talk to people driving down the road.
My buddy in high school, Jim Neeb, good guy, had one and perfected on a CB microphone the sound of a siren, and so he could make himself sound like a police.
Were
car.
You? Did you attend my bachelor party for Carla? I know you. Was that the one you were sitting outside? Were you in the back of the van, the police van that we had, or was
no?
That
I never. I would no. That was
you met us downtown, I believe. Right?
Yeah, yeah. And there was a limo by the time I got there because Charlie Broyhill sat on it.
That was marriage number two, I believe.
Oh,
I'm
you know what?
Sure,
you're
right.
Right. Yes, I'm
Were
so
you
sorry.
You and Charlie sat up on top of the limousine.
Yeah, I was not invited to the third one.
The third one took place in a Fraternal Order of Police van.
Is that the one with the bagpipers?
That's the bagpipers that piped me in, and yes, I was really shy at the beginning of the evening, and then by the end, I was waiting for them. Where are my bagpipers? But it had a PA, and we went downtown and went into a little watering hole known as the Camelot.
And, that's a great place.
And then we had a lady. There were bars all over, not just nudie bars, but there were bars all over. And I was instructed not to play with the siren, the lights, or the PA system. And that lasted 5 minutes
because
when we got down, I said,
"Ma'am, will you please step into the car and move it? We need to park here. We need to park here."
That's so cool.
It was cool.
That's amazing.
It was the very very.
Did you get
cool
to do the siren?
Yeah, I did everything.
What is the switch like for a siren? Is it just like a
It was, I believe, a toggle switch of some kind.
Okay, cool.
It was a toggle switch. It was fun, fun, fun.
Every time I've been in a police car, they haven't let me touch anything.
By the way, this is a multiple kicker story.
Oh, good, good, good. Yes, yes.
Longtime husband and wife Ed and Sally Wagner found out something rather unexpected as they prepared to celebrate their 75th wedding anniversary.
That's a lot of years.
The Greensburg, Pennsylvania couple told their loved ones that they would be reaching the significant marriage milestone on Monday, February 9th, only to learn they haven't actually been married for 75 years. Their son-in-law, always a great kid, Mark Aitken, he recently did an Ancestry.com record search for the family and uncovered a copy of Ed and Sally's marriage certificate.
Oh, that's nice.
As it turned out, they actually wed in 1952, not 1951, meaning they are still 1 year shy of their 75th anniversary.
Yes.
92-year-old Sally joked, "When you're married this long, who cares?" Isn't that sweet? When asked about the mix-up, her husband Ed said he blames the illegals.
At least they were married. I feel like those stories end up with, well, the paperwork was never filed.
Yeah, that's true.
When
yeah.
asked about the mix-up, her husband, Ed, said, "I gotta pee."
Ed Wagner.
When asked about the mix-up, her husband, Ed, said, he said nothing. He was sleeping.
Oh, Ed.
I changed the illegals from another one. That would have been more controversy.
I think both of them are accurate. Yeah.
Yeah, probably a good move. I hate that. I hate when it's a good move.
Ed Wagner, I look forward to them both living to see marriage number 75 years. I think that's
how much joy do you think that son-in-law experienced, right? One of those guys, "Hey, it's only 74 years."
I bet he never gets laid.
I bet he is 75 years old.
Yeah, he's probably that old if their marriage is 75 years. Hey, it's the best time of year. It's stay home and get cozy time with a bottle of wine. Yes, print it. Take it upstairs to the fat man. This podcast is sponsored by Naked Wines. Naked Wines is a wine club that directly connects you to the world's best independent winemakers so you can get world-class wine delivered straight to your door. Now, the other day I was making Coq au Vin.
Yes.
And while I didn't do the recipe justice, I did use high quality wine, as is suggested by Ina Garten.
I would never cook with a wine that I wouldn't drink.
That's why it came
Jeffrey.
From Naked Wines.
Yes.
Use our code TMOS at nakedwines.com and get $100 off your first order. That's 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99. How do they do it? Naked Wines brings you amazing wine straight from the winery at up to 60% less than what you would pay in a store. They cut out extra costs like those pesky middlemen markups.
Hate them!
Winemakers can pass those savings on to you without skipping on quality. Uncork some happiness. Get the best wine at the best price with Naked Wines. Now is the time to join the Naked Wines community. Head to nakedwines.com/TMOS. Click enter voucher and put in the code TMOS for both the code and password for $100 off your first order. That's 6 bottles, only $39.99 with shipping included. $100 off your first 6 bottles at nakedwines.com/TMOS. nakedwines.com/TMOS. Password and code for 6 bottles of wine. $39.99.
Isn't that why you're wearing the t-shirt today, Mike, that says get naked?
Get naked, baby. Along with my pin that says candy is dandy, but sex won't rot your teeth.
A lot of people don't know this, Josh. Mike buys most of his clothes at the Boardwalk in Ocean City.
Yes, I do. If I'm not at the Boardwalk, I'll find a shopping mall and go to merry-go-round. Speaking of shopping malls, Rob Spiewak, yes. not only taking care of his family down in Miami, but also venturing out into the wilds of Miami. And what does the very busy Rob Spiewak do with his days? Well, he goes to the mall, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, he does.
Had to, Mike. Mm. Had to. See, on January 8th, which is Elvis's birthday, they announced the release of this new movie, Epic, Elvis Presley in Concert. And it is really the result of the extra footage that Baz Luhrmann found of Elvis when he was making his Elvis movie a few years ago. And I think that it's going to, I think it releases to all theaters a week from Friday, but last night.
Thank you for letting us know.
Mike, I just a second. All right.
Okay. Sorry.
Because this is a two-parter, this story.
Okay.
It was very exciting for me. I immediately bought four tickets to take my kids and my mom and Michael, who's hiding over your shoulder. Did you not know this?
Yeah, that was a little creepy.
Yeah, it looked.
I don't even know how he got there without like, you noticing.
So everybody can see.
So it was like The Shining.
Oh, he's home. He's home for the week. Wait, come here. Stay in the shot so people can see your nice face. Right behind me is okay. Just like that. You can put your arms around me again. I like you hugging me.
Oh,
thank you.
See, that those big arms is why that bat broke.
Yeah.
Yep. You showed my bat.
I did show them your bat. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's your bat.
That is a great hoodie, Michael. I love that hoodie.
There it is.
Hey, Michael, right. I got to ask, and Mike, if you would relay Rob's this to him, to you. If you relay this question to him,
yes,
were you a little bit proud that you broke the bat?
Were you a little bit proud? Rob wants to know that you broke the bat.
No.
No. No. You can you can answer him right here.
I was hitting the ball too hard, but I was sad that it broke.
There it is.
I understand. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you need to bottle up that power.
Yes. Exit velo, exit velo, exit velo. All right.
Get,
what's that? Come here. You can tell him. Tell him your exit velo. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I hit 80 miles an hour exit velo.
Rob doesn't know what that means.
That's great.
Okay, get out and go. Rob, has mommy gone to feed our family? All right, very good. Tell her to work harder.
Is mommy drinking a mimosa?
Mommy's on her third mimosa. Before we go, I apologize for that. I had no idea he was in back of me.
It
remember when
me
it would get to
bit.
My part of the show and the phone would ring? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That's how you must feel when that happens. And I'm going to try to avoid that.
It threw
from happening
me a little
again.
Bit.
I will not have that happen on my watch, goddammit.
So I had my four tickets ready to go for February, and I get the call that it's probably best for me to come down and stay with my dad. So I go to Fandango, and I return the four tickets, and I get my money back except for the convenience fee, which is not very convenient. And then I get down here, and I say, I wonder if it's playing in Miami. And I Google it, and yes, at the Aventura AMC 24, they have one IMAX screen.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
In your depth of knowledge,
yes.
Is there any, in the way you phrase that, mm-hmm. to see if it's playing in Miami,
mm-hmm.
would there be a question about it
yeah.
playing in one of the larger cities in the United States?
Remember.
It's a one-night movie showing event that is only on IMAX.
That's why.
So
okay.
I don't know. I don't know exactly.
The question.
And so they have one. And then... magical of magical, I call my buddy Adam Sternberg, great listener, friend of the show.
Yes.
He lives halfway between his house and work is where this mall is.
Yeah.
So he meets me to go to the movie, and I'm so excited.
Yeah, because you need a pal down there, right?
I do. And
Adam's a good guy, very good
and
guy.
And it's horrifying to go to a movie by yourself. I just don't like it. And so I said, great, it's at 7. I'll see you
at 6.
Did you
ask him how he enjoyed Ash Wednesday?
It didn't come up.
That's a little joke. That's a little Jewish joke right there. Thank you.
Actually, there is a clip in the Elvis movie that's talking about Christmas, and I did lean over and say, he's dressed as a guy called Santa Claus.
Did you really say
I
that?
Did. I did, yeah. But, Adam, it was so much fun last night, even though that Aventura Mall is the worst mall that has ever been built.
Now, why is that, Rob?
Well... it's I don't big. Know the mall, but I think all malls are pretty standard and design. And so I type into the AI, if I'm going to the AMC 24 in Aventura, Florida, where should I park? And it said, it's a easy, easy parking job. All parking is free. Go to the fifth level of the garage by Nordstrom, and there's a walkover straight to the theater. I said, that's fantastic. That's exactly what I want. So I go to the Nordstrom garage. It's labeled Nordstrom garage. And I go up to the third level And I see a crossover and I say, well, no, that's not right because mine's on the fifth. And so by the time I'm on the fourth level, there are no cars. And I get up to the fifth level and it's deserted. There might as well be tumbleweeds rolling by.
I always go up to the top. I love that. I love the fact that it's empty the further up you get.
And I look and there is no bridge. There is no crossway. This is not right. So I said, maybe they mean the third. So I drive back down to the third and I go through the crossway and there I am in JCPenney, which is not the movie theater.
And, well, so, and also not Nordstrom.
No.
You said the park at the Nordstrom garage.
It's called the Nordstrom garage. So I find my way out of Penny's through menswear and colognes, and they have a big, like an iPad map, probably like 6 by 3 foot.
You pick up any free sample?
Of menswear or cologne?
Cologne.
No, I did not.
Little tubes.
Little tubes.
I love them all. I miss malls.
So, yeah, this mall is happening. It's crowded. It's got all the stores filled. I come out and I go to the map and I say, where is the movie theater? And I am really, if you used a compass, you could not have placed me further from the movie theater in the mall.
Google says it's the fifth largest mall in America.
Wow. I believe it. I believe it. And wow. So I start walking to try to find the movie theater. And I get about where I think is like center of the mall because there's a fountain. And I go back to another map, second time, think I found it, keep going. No, nothing. Hit the third map. I eventually hit the map four times and I can't find my way around this mall. One of the problems is there's lots of like side things that might be a main path, but then they end. And it's also
a little bit like a Disney.
Why not ask a kiosk worker?
I did eventually, but not before I hit the map four or five times. The design of the mall is like Pirates of the Caribbean, where you can't see around corners, so you don't know what's coming up at any time. Although,
so you could conceivably think you were trundling down. You were
yep.
You were loping, as you like to do, down to the theater. Well,
Mike, I was walking with purpose because there was an Elvis movie.
So you're walking with purpose, and then you'll turn a corner, and it'll be a pesky dead end.
Exactly. And I knew there was trouble. I was there at a little after 6. It's now 6:35.
And what time's the movie?
7. But I did find time to wander. I found myself eventually back at JCPenney. That's how bad my sense of direction was.
Well, that I think anybody's is bad in the mall.
Hold on. How many gummies?
None gummies. I wanted to be pure-headed for this. And so I'm back there. While I'm walking the mall, Mike, I find that it is probably a pretty upscale mall when one of their stores is Rolex.
They have a Rolex store?
A Rolex store.
NAD?
Oh. Yeah. And I said,
I know where we're meeting up.
And I was going to say, I would go in there if I wasn't horribly lost.
I'll pick up about 10 of them. Jesus Christ, my pathetic life.
Josh, they have your electric car store has a lot, a showroom.
Yeah, it's
right?
High-end. It's high-end over there. It's the Glitterati.
Did you find the slide?
I did not find the slide.
Also tells me there is a 93-foot slide tower at the mall.
Wow.
I wish I'd known that. I wish you would have gone on it. I would have. Right. So I go, I eventually think, okay, so the mall's on the fifth level, or the movie's on the fifth level. So I see an elevator, and I get in the elevator, and it only offers floor one or floor two. So I go up to the second
floor. There was another person on the elevator with him. This is what Rob said.
If it'll help the show, I can get even fatter.
So I went to the coffee guy. I said, where's the movie theater? And he gave me this. Go that way.
Oh, God. You know what?
No, that's the worst.
If that's done in a retail store, F you, get off your ass and show the person where it is.
But that's all I had. So I kind of went in that direction and I ended up.
Was this guy an employee at?
It was a coffee kiosk. Not a name brand coffee.
Was it Cali
kiosk.
Coffee?
It might have been. I don't know. I was too focused on the task at hand to pick up on details. But the lovely lady who was pushing the trash basket.
Oh, wow. A maintenance worker.
I said, is there any way to get from here to the movie theater? And she says, straight down here towards Bloomingdale's, there's an escalator that'll take you right to it. And I'll be damned if she wasn't exactly right. So I get in.
How was the movie?
I say to Elvis fans and people who are not Elvis fans, everyone should see this movie because of the fact that the music and the film has been so preserved and upped. They've upped the quality of it. I've never seen it look this good. RCA recorded all of Elvis's concerts in multi-track, of course, but when they released them, all you ended up really hearing was drums, Elvis, and the horns. You know, it was just a real sloppy mix. I've never heard the bass on Elvis live record. I've never heard rhythm guitar until last night.
How did Adam like it?
Adam loved it. Yeah. I needed it, but it was 2 hours of smiling.
Did you guys get a bite to eat afterwards, or did you just eat in the theater?
I bought Junior Mints and I bought him M&Ms.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's great. You did need that. I'm so happy for you. That's good that worked out.
But when this is called Epic, and when it releases wide, I recommend everyone see it because it's just a beautiful film. And as I was leaving, there was probably 30 people in the IMAX theater because it was a one-night thing, not a big promoted thing. And as more people arrived, Adam and I were clearly the youngest by 10 years. And literally, as people started to come in, the theater started to smell like old people.
Oh, my God.
It was that. It was that. And so
that's when the movie turned from epic to peptic, right? Am I right? Thank you.
So we're leaving, and I said to Adam, I said, this movie was so good, I almost wonder if Baz Luhrmann should have released this before the biopic that he did. And the old man who had been sitting next to me looks at me in the lobby and says, thank God we all need Baz.
Like the film? We all needed this?
He said, everybody needs to know about Elvis, and thanks to Baz, everyone is going to know about Elvis. We all need Baz.
I think you belong in that town, Rob. I really do.
And
I
then it took me a half hour to find my way back to the parking deck.
Good for you. And thank you, Adam, for more stuff with Rob. He's a good buddy for you. I think, and he loves to do stuff. So he's
a good time.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love that. Hey, Nausea, shut up. I'm in control now with Relief Band. It's the original anti-nausea wristband, clinically proven, drug-free, and doctor-recommended. It stops nausea from motion sickness, migraines, anxiety, hangovers, morning sickness, chemo, and more. Just strap it on, adjust the intensity, and feel relief kick in fast, zero side effects. The new Premier Plus Relief Band model goes even further. It's got smart skin-sensing technology, a built-in digital clock, and next-level nausea control. It sounds too good to be true, but trust me, it works. I have it. I use it. It's really great. I take my son out fishing and I think it's maybe sometimes, I don't know, I'm not a doctor, that when you get older, motion sickness affects you a little more, but this thing works for me when I go short fishing trip.
Everyone at the Elvis movie had nausea.
Doctor-backed, life-changing. It keeps me looking great. Yes, it does with my new hairdo. So if you want to cure your nausea problem fast, join the hundreds of thousands of people who are nausea free with Relief Band. Right now, there's an exclusive offer just for Mike O'Mara Show listeners. If you go to reliefband.com and use promo code TMOS, you'll receive 20% off plus free shipping. So head to reliefband.com and use our promo code TMOS for 20% off plus free shipping. Well, guess what, Rob? He's traveling again, and it's time. Well, the whole Soroka family are making their spring travel plans.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well,
no, that's a different discussion. But what I did have is, if you remember last year, I went to Boston with my dad and brother.
Please come to Boston, Soroka family.
She said no.
We explained there some of the difficulties of travel, and especially with my brother.
Yeah,
I'm not
my friend.
I'm not going to rent the bike.
Yeah.
Your brother, so Matt, who likes to get to the airport 4 minutes before a plane leaves.
Oh, yes. And then not pay for a thing.
Right. Exactly.
Yes. Uh-huh. So it's time to plan the trip again. Mm-hmm. And been trying to get details so we could plan our summer because my dad wants to do it in the summer this time. Mm-hmm. And the city he has chosen is Detroit.
That's a beautiful city in the summer.
But he has complicated it to we go to Baltimore and then we go to Detroit. So in the end, we're seeing like 4 or 5 games, which is great. But it adds complication, so we had to hop on a Zoom call my dad requested for the three of us to discuss this.
Are the Orioles playing in Detroit when you're there?
Yes.
Is that why Detroit? That makes sense. Okay.
No, we're trying to see the Mets.
Well, no, I mean, they love baseball. Some people like to go to every stadium.
I don't think that the Soroka family would be going to Detroit if the Orioles weren't going.
I know that Josh's dad loves Motown music.
Well, that's a different discussion of what do we do in Detroit when the games aren't going on.
Right?
Buy a car.
But it is. We're trying to see more stadiums that we've never seen, but we do tie it into the Orioles.
Okay, good.
So Detroit's the one I'm doing with my dad and brother this year, and we nailed it down. But it's a Zoom meeting because we have to get details straight because everyone lives in different areas. Everyone's coming from different areas of the country.
I get it. It's very organized, and your dad's very organized.
Could this not have been easily as done on a phone call, though?
It could have easily been done on a phone call, easily been done over text.
Oh, dear. Okay.
But it could have easily been done.
Is that on your bucket list, the stadium in Detroit?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I mean, every stadium is. I'm trying to knock them all out. I think I'm knocking three out this year.
Are you the catalyst for this Detroit visit?
No.
Okay.
No, my dad is. Okay. My dad has selected this one. Detroit wasn't at the top of my list, but it's one to see. And it's one to check off, and the
schedule
works out.
After you get Detroit done, you can go to the D.C. Armory. It's another beautiful facility.
No, it'll be time for minor league baseball in Jackson, Mississippi, a great place to live.
It's no Detroit.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So we have the Zoom call, and my brother's issues. And my dad likes to control things.
Okay.
And he's a control guy.
So you got a control freak and a cheapskate.
And Matt is cheap and doesn't want to plan anything and just everything works out. It'll be fine.
Right.
So we have to have this Zoom call and arrange everyone traveling to Baltimore, then everyone traveling to Detroit, and then everyone going from Detroit back to their homes.
Okay.
And where to go.
All right. That's at least a little complication. Right.
And my dad covers most of the expenses, which is nice. Which makes it way worth going to Detroit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then he told me this before the show.
Yeah.
There's an added wrinkle to this. There's actually one more side trip.
What's that?
Dubai.
Well, there's no stadium there yet. Give it 10 years and Major League Baseball will be there.
All right.
But it's just we have to go on a 30-40 minute Zoom call.
40 minutes?
To focus my brother to make sure.
So everyone agrees.
We get past Matt talking about what's the mass transit look like in Detroit? Because, you know, he doesn't want to rent a car, doesn't want to take an Uber. Because why take an Uber when you could maybe take the train?
Yes.
Down or in Baltimore.
Let me ask this question about your schedule. So you got a game, night game, then it's off to the air. You're going right from the ballpark to the airport or are you leaving in the morning?
We are going to baseball games Saturday, Sunday in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Monday, fly to Detroit. Go to games in Detroit Monday evening, Tuesday evening. Fly back Wednesday.
Wow, be exhausted. I can't wait to hear it. I think it's going to
be
fun.
Will your father buy you a souvenir at the game since you said he'd pay for most things?
No, he will pay for tickets and he will pay for flights.
Really?
I think we're on our own to get to Baltimore.
Tell Matt to bone up and for Christ's sake, get
himself
an Uber.
He's not being a good friend. Yeah.
No, Matt, Dad's paying for the tickets, for Christ's sake? Come on now.
If you remember, in Boston, I offered to wait for Matt and let him hop in the Uber with me.
Yes.
But he didn't want to do the Uber, so he did the walk to a train to a bus station that wasn't there, so then he drove the bike. So
You got to get him back on the show. I need to talk to him.
I want to
pick that brain a little bit. I want to pick that parsimonious brain of his.
Is it still called Tiger Stadium? Is that just what they call it there, or does it have a corporate name?
I think it's Comiskey Park, I believe.
No, that's Chicago.
That's Chicago. That's the Sox. So what is Detroit? Is it? I'm sure it's not Tiger Stadium.
Either way, will you race him to get out of the stadium after the game?
We will do that. You will catch us there on Saturday and Sunday in Baltimore, racing down the stairs.
I love the fact that they do that.
Comerica Park.
And way to go, Mr. Soroka, for those tickets. That's a lot of fun. I bet you're excited about it, and your dad's thrilled
about
it.
And the end of July, we'll be there.
Right.
So it'll be fun.
How about this? When you're there, how about in the entire 4 days of this excursion, all right?
Yes.
You got to break bread together. Go to someplace really nice. Then excuse yourself to go to the bathroom. Then have your dad do it and leave him with the check.
Yeah, actually leave the restaurant.
Leave the restaurant entirely. Go back to your hotel.
Do you think he actually has a wallet in his pocket?
All right.
It would be worth it just to see him come back and washing dishes like in the old days.
sounds exciting. Hey, everybody, here is a fact for you. A podcast is the fastest and most economical way to share your mission. It's also a great way to build trust. It's a great way to show the human side of your brand. People love podcasts because they can relate to the story that you are telling. All the people that listen to this podcast relate to our brokenness. That's the truth. It's just true. The way it works. But every business has a story, so who's telling yours? At the Podcaster's Warehouse, they handle everything. The gear, the recording, the editing, the publishing, promotion. No tech headaches, no wasted time. You just show up. The Warehouse amplifies your voice. Podcasts will drive your results. Stronger connections, real leads, loyal clients. Whether it's an in-house podcast, a tool to promote your business, or just you talking about the things that are important to you. Every show is custom built for your needs, with studio quality audio and video, plus social clips, thumbnails, and transcripts. The Warehouse handles it all. Your voice, our warehouse. It's not a platform. It's your production team. And that's a team that will personally care about your product. Let them build your podcast. Go to thepodcasterswarehouse.com to set up a free call, because your story, ladies and gentlemen, is too good not to tell.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry Tom.
Tuna. We've got we're up against the clock here, so some of this stuff I will keep until our bonus show this week.
Please.
But I'd like to start, Mike, you're not a bad driver. I know sometimes people say you might be a bad driver.
I'm a little aggressive.
I think we're all pretty good drivers. This guy that we're about to watch, he is a bad driver.
Whoa.
Back now with a pickup truck flying straight into one family's home in Oregon. Police say the driver went airborne after hitting a mound of dirt at a construction site while speeding. The couple and their three children in that house were not injured. The driver faces several charges.
Man, that is, I mean, that is a lot of weight to go airborne. That is really
100 feet
else.
He sailed into the house and no one
was injured.
You know,
it's strange because down here where I live, pickup trucks are normally the safest drivers. Not.
And Mike, let's close with this. You wonder why people around the world think America has got problems. Remember when we were going crazy for the lady that invented the Dr. Pepper jingle?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there is a product that's stupider than Dr. Pepper.
Is this the ranch dressing one?
Yes, and it's all over the place. Hidden Valley Ranch is the that is literally the condiment of the idiot. I play this last today because I want it stuck in everybody's head. Here is the
Hidden
Valley.
Let me just get a little something ready for
you. Okay, very
good.
Very good.
Okay, just a little bit. Thank you very much. I'm ready.
All right, here comes the Hidden Valley Ranch jingle.
Hidden Valley Ranch!
Wow.
Thank you very much. Yeah,
everyone's going to be doing this for every brand now because they want a payday.
Play it one more time so we do it justice, okay? I don't want to blow it up.
No, no.
Hidden Valley.
Went longer than I thought. But look for next Monday, Mike, when I do my song for Trojan brand condoms.
There you go. Why don't you leave that one to me? Extra small.
Oh, no.
That's it. We got to get out of here. We'll be back with a bonus show tomorrow for Josh Taroke and Rob Spiewak. This is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
See Elvis in the big screen.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara bonus show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
That will never happen again, and I'm sorry.
That's the kind of comedy we specialize in. Clean, unfunny humor.
And what time did Mr. O'Mara's review come in last night?
Oh, he didn't come in here at all. We're all on computers now. You see, O'Mara wrote his reviews on his home computer and then sent it in here by modems over the telephone.
Oh, my goodness, how modern.